Sermon for today is entitled, The Lord is My Salvation, taken from the passage we have read in Exodus chapter 15. Before we begin, let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Almighty God, Eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy goodness towards Thy people, Thy mercy and Thy grace upon us. We thank Thee for protection from this illness, for ourselves and our loved ones, and those in our community. We praise and thank Thee, Lord, for Thy goodness. We praise and thank Thee, Lord, and pray for help for the authorities in this land. That, Lord, Thou will grant them wisdom. Grant them, Lord, Thy help in containing this spread of the illness. And we pray especially, Lord, for those who labor in the front lines, those who are in the medical profession, those who labor ceaselessly, bravely. We pray, Father, that Thou would protect them. And Lord, grant them wisdom and understanding in administering help and treatment to those who are in need. We pray, Father, that Thou would continue to be with them. And Father in heaven, we pray for our people. We remember those, Lord, who are ill. And Lord, those who may be senior in years. We ask, Lord, that Thou will watch over them and protect them. We pray and ask for Thy mercy, O Lord, upon many who have concerns about their livelihood, about their jobs, about their businesses. We ask, Lord, that Thou will be gracious, merciful to them. Grant them peace and comfort in their hearts. And grant them most of all, Lord, that faith to trust in God, our great and gracious Savior. And Father in heaven, as we now look into Thy holy word, we pray for unction from above. We pray for wisdom, that our eyes and our hearts may be open to Thy word, to receive Thy word, that we may live our lives pleasing before Thee, in service and in devotion to Thee. Bless Thou our time together, O Lord, we pray. Forgive us our sins, cleanse us, prepare us, Lord, as we come before Thee. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now keep our Bibles open to Exodus chapter 15. Now, the passage that we have just read, Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. Some Bible scholars or Bible students would refer to this as a Song of Moses, right, amongst several songs in the Bible that Moses have written for the people. Now, as we consider this passage of the Bible, we want to think about something that is currently going on around the world and in our communities and also in the nations that we live in. We see that we give praise for those who are laboring bravely. And yes, you know what I'm talking about. Those brave people who are in the front lines, those who are in the medical profession, who continue to minister treatment to those who are in need. And what do we do? Well, in many nations, praise is given to them, right? We hear about applause, clapping for them. We hear about banners that are written, right, talking of their bravery and diligence as they continue in labor. This is praising, praise given to men. Now, as we think about that, we know that it is rightfully due because these people are diligent, they're brave, they're courageous to do that work. And that praise is rightfully due to them. But then we also think about, on this morning as we gather to worship God, praising our God. And we want to dwell upon the theme, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. We often praise God for salvation. We praise God for He's the God of our salvation. How do we do so? Well, for men and women whom we praise, very often these are acts that are worthy of being reported, acts that we can see, we hear about. We watch it over the news or we watch it over the video clips and we see the bravery of these frontliners who do their very important work. But what about our praises to a God that we cannot see? Can we continue to praise Him? Yes, certainly. The scripture guides us to think in those terms. In fact, the text for today, the passage for today, guides us to think about three important aspects of how we can praise the Lord for our salvation. We can praise Him, number one, because He's our covenant God. He's our covenant God. He's promised us. He's faithful to us. He's our covenant God. We praise Him also because He's a mighty God. He's our covenant God, and we praise Him because He's our mighty God. And thirdly, we praise our God, the God of our salvation, because He's a holy and merciful God. He's a holy and merciful God. Let's look into the passage today. The passage today begins in chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." Verse 1 of chapter 15. "Then sang Moses." So this is a song that is sung to the Lord. Now, it leaves us to think, and we wonder, why are songs recorded in the Bible? Well, there are several reasons. In this case, it ascribes praise to God for His mighty deeds. This mighty deed, as we have read, relates to the crossing of the Red Sea and how the Lord closed in the waters and inundated and flooded and drowned the pursuing chariots and the hosts of Pharaoh, praising God for His mighty deeds. It is, in some ways, like, and this is a very ancient practice, is recorded for us in the Bible. When a warrior, this warrior goes to war and comes home in victory, the people of the city, the people of the village or the city would come forth and they will sing a song to praise him and to thank God for him. And this is recorded for us in the Bible. For instance, when David returned from battle, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6, we read this account that when he came by, he returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. What happened? The women came out of all the cities of Israel. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. And they sang to him. What were they doing? They were singing and dancing. Chapter 18, verse 6 of 1 Samuel records, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. So they were singing because King Saul had returned. And so David as well. And then the next verse recorded, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. We all read and know this account, how the women of the cities came out and they sang praises after that victory over the Philistines. Now there's an account that comes out of this in the book of Samuel, but we will leave that for another meditation of how David was praised, in preference of Saul, because he had slain the enemy by the 10,000s. Now, the idea we know is this. When some warrior comes home, like a war hero, he is accorded applause, He's accorded praise. How? By singing. So this passage we read in chapter 15 of Exodus, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord," has that same kind of idea being conveyed, the Lord as a mighty warrior. Now, there's also another reason why songs like this are recorded for us, and songs like this are composed. And it is also within the passage, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel." And the purpose is this, as the children of Israel will sing this song, as they sang the song, they will remember the acts of the Lord, the mighty deeds of the Lord, the mighty deliverance, the salvation that God had worked for them. So firstly, is to praise God. Secondly, it is for the believer that in singing, they are also reiterating and reminding themselves of the mighty deeds of God. And there's also a third purpose, which is also important. And this third purpose, projects itself into the future. In fact, this very song, Song of Moses, is also recorded in Revelation. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Apostle John wrote this. He says in Revelation 15, verse 3, he says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So a song like this encourages the heart. It brings praise to God of our salvation. It reminds the believer of God's mighty deeds in bringing about salvation. And it also reminds the believer of that future day when God's salvation will be seen in its full accomplishment. Verse 1 begins with this: "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." The first point we want to consider is this: that this song ascribes praise to God for a purpose. It brings out the mighty deeds that God hath done. And that mighty deed is very clearly written. Verse 1, he has triumphed gloriously. What does it mean? Triumphed gloriously. He has done something which is great. He has won them a great victory. Now, for those of us who are already familiar with the crossing of the Red Sea, and many of us would have read this passage, it would seem like a passing event, isn't it? God brought his people across the Red Sea. But you have to think about this in the eyes of the Israelites when they say God has triumphed gloriously. Remember this: prior to leaving Egypt, for the last 400 and some years, what were they? They were slaves. Right? They did not have an army to protect them. They did not have a navy that they can call upon to help them cross the sea. They did not have chariots like their pursuers so that they can outrun their pursuers. They had none of that. What were they? They were farmers, sheep herders, cattle herders. And God had called them and they had left their country of Egypt. Now they were being cornered, but God had shown them a great victory. How? That without an army, without a navy, without chariots, without all that structure needed within an organization of people to fight a battle, God has won a victory for them. And who is this God? Let's look at verse 2. "The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." And this is the first point we want to remember in praising the God of our salvation. He is our covenant God. He is our covenant God. How do we know that? We know that from the words that Moses used to describe my Father's God. The God of Abraham, the God who covenanted with Abraham that through his seed the nations of the world will be blessed. This is the covenant God. And what did this God do for them? Well, in verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song." He is my strength and my song. What does it mean? Actually, these two words are very rich and poetic in meaning. Strength means power. A song that is sung means praise. So, as the reader hears, or the listener hears the words of this song, it is impressed upon his or her heart, God is a God of power, and through him we have power. And God is worthy of praise, and to him we accord all praise. He is a great and wonderful God. In fact, the verse goes on to say, he has become my salvation. He is the God of my salvation, my deliverance. Wonderful words to be used. And in fact, there's a play of words here. The word salvation in the text of the Bible, in the language of the Old Testament, Yeshua. Does that name not sound familiar? Yeshua, Savior, our Savior, God my Savior, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. A personal acknowledgement of that covenant with God. The God of my salvation, whom I praise, is my covenant God, and I will prepare him and habitation. Preparing him and habitation. Now, some students of the Bible or commentators will refer to this phrase, prepare him and habitation, as Moses talking about the coming instruction from God to build the tabernacle. But also, this phrase has a rich theological meaning. When God's habitation is amongst his people, it means God dwell among them. Isn't it not? So we hear this phrase or this word, Emmanuel, God being with them. So in Exodus 15 verse 2, when Moses sang this song and he says, God is my strength, he's my song, he's my salvation, he is my God, my personal covenant God, I will prepare him in habitation. He will be dwelling in our midst. He is among us. He is with us. He is my Father's God, and I will exalt him. He will be my praise. He will be my praise. You know, this idea of a covenant God and that intimate relationship is said over and over again in the Bible. For instance, Isaiah, the prophet, he says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Very similar thoughts and words and ideas as expressed by Moses in this song. So what application is there in our life? Well, when we look at it, we may not see with our physical eyes the crossing of the Red Sea. We may not see, right, as the Israelites in Moses' time have seen, right, the destruction of the pursuers, the enemies. But in our life, there is much that we can praise our covenant God for. For instance, we can daily, especially in this time of restricted movement, thank God for salvation, for that eternal gift that he has given us to those who are his covenant people. The question we have to ask ourselves is this: are we indeed to be named among his covenant people? Are we a child of his salvation? If we are, and if you are, indeed blessed are you. But if you are not, this is the time to come to reckon before God and know this covenant God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And indeed, if you are blessed with this salvation of this covenant God, this is a wonderful time to praise God. And how so can you do it? By sharing your testimony, by evangelizing, by sharing that testimony of salvation with your loved ones and those who are yet outside God's kingdom. For they truly are in need of salvation. They truly in need of the covenant God to save them. An application we can work on today. The next thing we read in this verse, Exodus 15 verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. We think and understand that God is a covenant God. We praise him. We praise God of our salvation, our covenant God. We also praise God because he's a mighty God. Mighty and strong and great. Verse 3 of chapter 15 says, the Lord is a man of war. A man of war. A warrior. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, and this is looking far into the future. If you're an Israelite in the time of Moses, Revelation 17, verse 14, would be a prophecy of a future event. And so it is for us. Revelation 17, verse 14, and these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Are called and chosen and faithful. The Lord is a man of war, a mighty warrior. for a nation in the time of Exodus 15 who have just left slavery. As I mentioned, no army, no navy, no chariots, no mechanisms for fighting a war, no organization for them to be organized to resist the enemy. The Lord is their army. The Lord is their man of war. Now, how do we read that? We read that in the verse 14. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. For a nation without an army, God is their man of war. Singular, man of war, one. On the other hand, verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his host. This is collective, plural, right? A whole lot of them. One versus all of them. The Lord is a man of war, able to overturn the enemies that appear so fearful. Earthly powers and all powers that are physical offers no challenge to God whatsoever. Singular, man of war, versus plural, Pharaoh, his chariots, and his entire army. No comparison whatsoever. Verse 15 says, the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Like a stone, they sink to the bottom. One man versus an entire army of chariot. The army lost. Sank like bottom. Sank to the bottom like a stone. This tells us that huge encouragement we have in praising the God of our salvation, the mighty God. No matter how insurmountable that difficulty we see, it is never insurmountable with God on our side. You know, for many of us, this COVID-19 is a challenge. And I know that there are many out there who struggle. There are families who are borderline in terms of financial supply. There are families that are in poverty, and this time of the illness going around is especially challenging for them. There are those who are ill, some fighting for their lives, struggling against the lack of resources, struggling against the lack of treatment resources for them. Whatever that barrier may be, whatever that challenge may be, however insurmountable, we know that God is on our side. The believer have that comfort that God is on his side or her side. You may have a challenge too. Some of us may be contemplating, what would it be like when all these movement orders or movement control is over? Will I still have a job? Will I be able to have a livelihood? As you stand and as you look, it may seem insurmountable. But remember, with God, our battle is won already by God's mighty hand. Verse 6 tells us, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. In fact, verse 7 goes on to reinforce that idea. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. That rose up against thee. So we give thanks and praise to the Lord of our salvation, the covenant God. We also give thanks and praise to the Lord of salvation, the mighty God. And the text tells us that he's a mighty God because it is by his right hand. The phrase right hand conveys that idea of what? Active movement, active intervention by power, by the power of God. He has become, verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemies. Verse 6, 7, and 8, right, actually it forms, if you like, a block. It's like a three-line or three-stanza poem, if you like, a tercet, right? A three-line poem. Now, how do we see that? Well, verse 6, thy right hand, right? What does thy right hand do? Verse 6, dash thy enemies in pieces. Verse 7, in the greatness of thy excellency, what have done? Thou hast overthrown them, and verse 7 ends with, consumed them as stubble. The might of God's right hand dashed the enemies to pieces. The greatness of excellency of God consumed them as stubble. And in fact, verse 8 continues with this third stanza and says, with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. So these three lines contain or convey that idea of the mighty, powerful God who is able to enact protection for his people, destruction upon his enemy, and power over the nature and the creation that he has created. Verse 6, thy right hand become glorious in power, and it dashed the enemy in pieces. Verse 7 again, greatness of thy excellency, overthrown them that rose up against thee, consumed them as stubble. And then verse 8, by the blast of thy nostrils, the water were gathered together. Three miraculous and wonderful acts. Definitely wonderful in the eyes of the Israelites of that time. Because like I said, they were not prepared for war. They were not organized to fight a battle. But God dashed their enemies to pieces. And you can almost picture this in your mind. Right? The waters closing upon the chariots. Right? Moving the chariots about, swirling them, smashing them in pieces as it were. Bits of armor and bits of chariots, right, being flung, being dashed to pieces. And then you see how God have overthrown them and consumed them as stubble. The armies that were organized, right, and in pursuit, right now what are they? They're scattered. Right? Consumed as fire would consume light material. And God did a wonderful thing. By gathering the waters together, he made that dry land through which the people of God may go through. We praise our God because He's our covenant God. We praise our God of salvation because He's a mighty God. Now, as we live today, we may not see and hear and know with our physical eyes and our physical ears these great, miraculous, and mighty acts. But we have them recorded for us that our covenant God is a mighty God indeed. But mightier still is that miraculous work that God has worked in the hearts of those who have called upon Him. That still small voice that calls upon the sinner to repentance, that turns a sinner from depravity, from knowing no righteousness, from not seeking God, from being altogether wasted, to one that is blessed, chosen, called to be faithful. That in itself, it's a mighty act of God and worthy of praises from God's people, praising the God of our salvation for His mighty acts. It is a good time for us to reflect, especially when we have time at home. This stay-home time is a precious time for us to think about the God of our salvation and to thank Him and to praise Him daily for that work in our hearts. For that mighty work that turned us from what would have been eternal damnation into light and eternal life in Christ Jesus. Exodus 15 goes on to say, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You will notice a familiarity in reading this. The I will, right? I will pursue, I will overtake, I will destroy. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. These are words of a very self-willed enemy. Those that rise up, those who exalt themselves against God. It's reminiscent, it reminds us very strongly of Isaiah chapter 14, the description of Lucifer. I read Isaiah 14 verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? And then in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sights of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So in this song that praises God of salvation, it also highlights that self-will and depravity of sinners, of enemies of God. The application and lesson we can learn from is this, that humility and submission before God is pleasing in His sight and is indeed a blessing. And it is something that God's word desires of all His people. So we remember two important lessons. We praise God of our salvation, for He's our covenant God. And we praise Him because He's a mighty God. He does wonderful and miraculous things, both physical, as recorded in the Bible, and spiritual work in our hearts that we know of. And we are convicted for the work of the Holy Spirit. And finally, let's read on. 11 of Exodus 15. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. And we want to consider this point. Praising the Lord of our salvation, for He is a holy and a merciful God. Holy and merciful God. Where do we find that? Right from the text we have just read. Exodus 15 verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O God, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness? God is a holy God. Exodus 15 verse 13 says, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Merciful God. Praising the Lord of our salvation for His holiness and mercy. A wonderful thing for us to reflect upon in this time that we have, in this time of restricted movement. God is holy. He will exact punishment in His righteousness. And therefore, we are indeed very cautious that we do not fall into sin. We do not fall into His displeasure. But on the other hand, we praise Him because He's a merciful God. For the Bible tells us that if we have sinned, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And He will impute upon us the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we confess our sins before Him. Praising God for His salvation is a wonderful thing. Praising God for He's our covenant God. Praising God because He's a mighty God. Praising God because He's God of holiness and mercy. You know, the song goes on to say the response about the response of the people. Some will fear, indeed, some will fear greatly. Verse 14 says, The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them, all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. You see, when we praise the God of our salvation, because He's our covenant God, because He's a mighty God, because He's a holy and merciful God, we draw near to Him. But whereas the one who would resist the will of God, their hearts would melt in fear. So it is, as described in Exodus chapter 15, of the people who hears or who will hear about the mighty acts of God. Verse 16 says, Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone, frozen like a stone, so petrified, having heard of the mighty act of God. But if only they would turn to Jehovah, if only they would turn to the God of salvation, like the many whom God have called and chosen and called to be faithful, if only they will do that, then they will not be petrified with that kind of fear. For indeed that fear is so real. Because some time after this crossing of the Red Sea, and years have passed, when Joshua was about to come in to bring the people into the promised land, we read of this in Joshua chapter 2 verse 10, how Rahab told the spies of Joshua, he says, We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And then verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2 says this, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. These are the words of the heart of a woman who have submitted to God. When she hears about that miraculous act, when all around her are petrified with fear, she turned instead to God of heaven, the great God. Mercy for God's people. We give thanks to him. So as we conclude this passage, we think and we hear about and we read, the Lord is our salvation. And we read this song of praise, for we praise the Lord of our salvation. For indeed, he's our covenant God. He's ever faithful. For indeed, he's a mighty God. He does great and wonderful things for his people. And he is a merciful God for those who will turn to him in submission. Amen.